We're going to talk a little bit more about You Do It tonight. That's where we left off. You Do It. Open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. All right, we're going to look at verses number 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse number 13. In You Do It, we are learning how we're called to deal with situations after being under baptism, after being empowered. How God is calling us to deal with situations and to really speak to them. Prove to us on Sunday how we really have power. We've been given power, and we have been given with that power the ability to take care of things, to deal with situations. So it really, really causes you. You have to deal with it. It's not by works. I don't want anybody to think that we're talking about works because we're not, or effort. Because when you're under baptismal, you're under the full strength of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
So it's not about effort, but it is about having a consciousness to deal with things and to really, really, really attack your situation and to really go at them and to really be mindful of them. We get under baptismal and we kind of get into this frozen mode where we're not pushing like we should. And I don't mean pushing in effort. I mean pushing because you understand that you have power. I mean pushing because you understand that when you say something that it's going to change. I'm talking about pushing because you know that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath, and you're changing circumstances. So there's a push inside of the knowledge that you have because of the position that you're under. But God wants you to do it. He said, you say unto that mountain, be thou removed. He said, you say it. He said, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. And so he's basically, I almost feel like he's saying, listen, you're under the baptismal, so you have put me on entirely. But now with me on, you're not doing anything. Paul understood. He said, I've been crucified, nevertheless I live, but it's not I, but Christ that lives on the inside of me. So it's like Paul understood that, hey, I'm right here with him. And you don't see how they walked around just waiting on stuff to happen. You look at the different segments with the apostles, and you look at the disciples, even some of the people that were not considered apostles. But when they dealt with situations arose, they dealt with them, and they attacked the situation because they were secluded under the rhema word of God. They were really under that word. All right? First thing you need to know is that you receive power. Somebody say, I receive power.
I receive power.
Now, while I'm under the rhema word of God, while I'm under the baptizo, I have already received power. And in Matthew 10 and 1, it says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse number 1, he gave them power to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, and he gave them power against unclean spirits. He gave them power. No question here. He gave them power. He brought them into a place when he did what he did. His breath, because what he did to them was breathe on them. Well, while you're under the rhema, he's breathing on you.
Come on.
Praise God. He's breathing on you while you're under rhema. If you look at another account here, it says he blew his breath on them and they received power. Well, while you're under the rhema, he's blowing his breath on you, and you too and me too, we are receiving power. All right, here we go. Verse 13. Now watch this. Go down all the way to verse 13. And if this is after he told them what they should go do. Go into every city, talk to them. He said, go ahead, heal the sick. He said, go ahead, do all this. He said, wherever they receive you, go ahead, go. Take now the personal script, just go. You can read all that stuff in between. But we pick up at verse 13. It says, and if the house be worthy, watch what he equates this to now. Let your peace... Watch that now. He said it was their peace.
Their peace.
Let your peace come upon it, but if it be not worthy, Let your peace return to you. So when he gave them power, he really gave them power. They were now phaserogens of the power of God. They were epithets of God himself. They were carbon copies at that moment. And we're going to see more proof to that. They really were possessors of power. You got to get that in your head now. You got to get that in there. That under baptizo, under R3, while I'm under the rhema word, I am a possessor of his power. Now, I don't need him to come and produce power because he's already given me power. Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, you do it.
You do it.
Oh, God, you do it. Now, the word peace here in the Greek is irene. Irene, if you want to spell it, it's E-I-R-E-N-E. Irene. And what irene means, it means the state of national tranquility. All right, there's going to be a flip in this message tonight, so get ready for it. Because there's a rebuke coming. There's a real rebuke coming. So it means a state of national tranquility. It means exemption from the rage and havoc of war. An exemption from the rage and havoc of war. It also means peace between individuals. Peace between individuals. Okay? Peace between individuals. Or it also means harmony. I'm not done. I'm going to go to the heavier definitions that really come to us. All right? It means security. Safety. Prosperity. Jesus. He said, if they be worthy, let your prosperity come to them. The fact that you're propitiated, you've tapped into the fullness of the kingdom. The fact that you are under me, that you are under, you're right in my presence, or you're under this word, you're under me. And being in Rhema is being in Christ. It's the same thing. Being in Rhema is being in Christ. It's the same thing. So if I'm under Rhema, see, and the reason why I taught us about being in Rhema, I'm going to just backtrack real quick, is because it's a lot easier to understand to be in the Rhema word than it is to be in Christ. Call me crazy if you want to. It's a lot easier to get a hold of being in the Rhema word than for you to apprehend or comprehend how to be in Christ. That's why he's teaching us about Rhema. It's so much easier to understand that I stay in the study of what he's breathing out than to try to walk out his character by myself.
Amen.
And if I stay under the study of what he's saying, yes. I'm completely in him, praise
yes.
God. I'm all the way in him. I don't have to try to be a Christian on every level. No, just stay under the study of what he's saying, and I'm completely in him. So now he says this. Now he brought them unto himself. He brought them into a place of R3, if you will. He brought them there when he breathed on them, and what he did, he says that, now this, what I got, is now yours. If the house be worthy, leave your peace. You can't leave peace if you don't have peace.
Come on.
Ah, God. Yeah. You don't understand, but what's in peace is tranquility. The state of national tranquility. Prosperity. Safety. All of that is under peace. So now, if I stay here, Carolyn, I will become very prosperous. Where? Everywhere. So he's saying that, if the house be worthy, leave your prosperity. Leave your peace. Leave kingdom. All right? Another definition is safe, prosperous. And then it boils down, it reduces down. It says it's of the Messiah's peace. But watch this. It's of the Messiah's peace, but it's yours. He said it like this, freely you got it, freely give it. If you got it, you got it. He gave it to you, Elder Barbara, it's yours. He wants sons and daughters to rise up. He wants us to realize that we're partakers of his divine nature, and it's not on lease. You own it. You have ownership of this anointing. You have ownership of this power. You have ownership because you paid the price here. You did. Watch what I tell you now. You died.
Come on.
The price was you not. And every time you get under the rhema word, you not. You paid the price to own it. You let his word kill you. You have the same testimony as Jesus. No man took my life. I laid it down. I decided to get up and get under the rhema word. I decided to get in that thing. I decided enough was enough. Enough was enough.
Amen.
Absolutely decided. That was it. I made that decision, got up today. I said, you know what? Enough is enough. Bring it to me, Jesus, and bring it whatever you want to talk to me. Fill me. Slay my faults.
Amen.
I'm saying amen to you.
Yes, that's it.
So as a result of that, that peace is now mine. I'm owner of it. He said to them, he said, and if the house be worthy, let your peace. Why wouldn't he say, let my peace come on it? Because he gave them ownership of it. Jesus said it like this: if you see me, you see the Father. Gave himself to me. Oh, watch this. Okay, here's proof. Let me give you an elementary proof. It's just dropped. For God so loved the world that he gave. Man, did anyone just catch that? Did you catch that? For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave.
He gave us him. He gave us Jesus.
My!
Yes.
Ooh, my God.
That's power right there.
My God. He gave him to me. He gave him. He gave him over to me. He belongs to me. And all that comes with him is mine.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
That is good.
Hallelujah. My God. That's why I say, you do it. Yeah. I gave it to you. You take care of this.
That's good.
Come on.
Amen. Woo, hallelujah. So now I have the ability to transfer the Messiah's level of peace, the Messiah's level of prosperity. The Messiah's level. I have the ability to bring it into my life if I stay under this rhema word. I have this ability now because now all of that power has been given unto me by the word of God. By staying and living in the rhema word, all of that power is now mine.
Amen.
Simon the sorcerer saw it. He saw it on them and wanted it. Like, how much, man? How much will it cost me to get that? Peter said, your money perish with you. Can't buy this with money. This will cost you your life. Baptized, buried with it. Get baptized in the word. Once you're baptized in the word, you got it. It's now yours. You paid the price. All right. But the thing of it is that when we understand this, we're not above. We are as. If you can see the caption, it would say, we are not above, we are as. Somebody say, I am as.
I am as.
I'm not above him, but I'm as. Come on, you said it right there. I'm going to read it to you right now. I'm not above, I'm as. Matthew 10, we go down to verse 24 and 25. All right, same chapter. He's still teaching here. This is after he gave them power. Now we go down, all right? It says here in verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Watch this. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. Woo, my God. You're not above him, but he's saying, I give you equality. You're just like me. My God. Anybody really teaching somebody something wants them to get it the way they got it. Anybody that's teaching somebody something, you want them to get it the way that you got it. When my wife is teaching my son, she wants him to understand it the way that she understands it because she knows it's right. So she wants him to come up even as. Martial arts, even as. Come up to where I am. I'm trying to show you something. Anybody teaching something, you want them. That's why I take such great joy. Well, like on Puff Puff Pass service, that you don't know when it's going to drop, so be always prepared. Because you don't know when we're going to have a corporate smoke out. That's just, you know, just there. But it's nice to hear the even as place that you guys walk in and that you guys are communicating this rhema on the same level. There's no greater joy for me as having taught it that we communicate it that way. Now, there will be a greater joy as we live it.
That's it.
All right, so he says here, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? If they're calling me a devil because I'm doing stuff that looks strange, you should be called a devil because you're doing stuff that looks strange. What's on me should be seen on you. If they're calling me a devil, you too should be called a devil.
Amen.
Why? Because we live in the same house. We pick up the same habits. The same characteristics. I have a big family, and if a saying comes up and is popular, the whole family says it. The whole family says it. The whole family will jump on board to a saying that's popular. Deuces. Deuces will go through the house. Everybody, deuces. I hear my daughters when they get mad at each other. What's up, bro? And I hear the next one. What's up, bro? What you gonna do, bro? And they're talking to each other, and everybody's bro. Because it became popular in the house. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So now the word as means this. Watch this. Here we go. Woo. It means which how? W-H-I-C-H. Yeah, nice. It means in that manner. It means in that manner. It means how greatly. All right? Watch this. This is the amazing one. With all speed. How fast he did it. Is how fast you should be doing with all speed. Even as. Beloved, I fear of all things that thou mayest prosper and be well. Even as.
God.
Without break or indentation or irregularity. There's nothing irregular about you when you're measured to him. He said that the disciple shall be as his master. You shouldn't look anything different. Hence Kobe Bryant with the moves of Michael Jordan in the video you sent me. He patterned his moves that they did this video on YouTube. Kobe Bryant came after Michael Jordan, but they did this video. Kobe, everybody knew if you watched Mike and saw Kobe play, you knew that Kobe stole every move from Mike. So what they did was they'd show a segment of Michael Jordan doing a move, but then they would put Kobe in the same move. Headspace, everything was perfect. The shoulder did anything. It was perfect, and he patterned himself after Mike and probably the second best player ever to play the game. But he did everything Mike did. There was no irregularity to it. In fact, for Jordan fans, we couldn't stand him. How dare you do that? But I got to admit, he did it right.
He did.
He was awesome. He was an imitator. And he killed it. All right? So watch this. It means also being in the same plane or line. I'm going somewhere. Being in the same plane or line, free from variation. Uniform in his disposition. Uniform means perfectly aligned in his disposition. Equal. Last but not least, equal. Absolutely equal. The disciple should be equal to his master. That's the word of the Lord. Not above him, but equal. So now the power you have, which is ridiculous, is equal. The power we have, help us Jesus, is equal. Now, we got a problem. This is where we get to the meat of the message. We have a problem. When we're under baptizo, this is our position. And I just described to you that the Lord himself said that you are equal to me in power. You are not above me, but I give you equality with me. That you can leave your peace. You leave your peace. You can. How many times have you made a situation peaceful? How many times have you flipped it around and changed it over and you left? That is the anointing. That is the power of God. And so he's saying, you have equal power to me. But we have an issue. When we're under baptism, we're here. This is our position. The moment we come out, we lose this position. We lose power. We actually pervert the anointing. And this is where the slap in the face comes, because now we're educated to the fact that we have equal power. But why don't we function? We lose power. We pervert the anointing. We lose its ability to perform for us and others. And here's confirmation. Now, we just read a segment where they were given power. Now, let's look at a segment in Matthew chapter 17. They got power in Matthew chapter 10. But Matthew chapter 17, we see these boys lose power. All right, here we go. This is the point of tonight's message. This is why we can't do it. And here comes a major slap in the face for me on down. Sometimes I can do it. Sometimes I'm really on it, and sometimes I can see the productivity of it. But then there are other times where I can't do it. Jesus. God Almighty. God Almighty. You ever get kind of caught between asking and commanding?
Yeah.
Where you don't know whether to ask or command? It's because he's given you power, so you really want to command. Because he's given you power. They didn't go and ask devils, will you please come out? Jesus, make them come out. No, when they dealt with their business, they didn't even use his name. Come out. They didn't even say in the name of Jesus. You read the book of Acts, they said, come out, be healed, rise up. There was no in the name of Jesus. Ain't nobody talking about in the name of Jesus. They were already enveloped all the way in the name. They were baptized in the thing. And they used the power that they had. You don't see them caught between. Now, supplication came at a time for your own self. You supplicate at times when you recognize you don't have power. And what he's going to do to you, you don't understand what he's going to do. He's going to put you back in power. And then all of a sudden, what's boosted, what happens before you get your breakthrough is your confidence rises. Then your prayer changes. I commend you in the name of Jesus. Now, it's all changed now because you got your power back. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's just real. Okay, now here's where they lost power. And this is why we're losing power. Say, look at your name and say, you ain't going to lose no more power.
You ain't going to lose no more power.
You ain't going to lose no more power. This is it. This is it. This is it. It says here in Matthew 17, we pick up at verse 15. This man came and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son. For he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now in chapter 10, they had power over unclean spirits.
Gave it to him.
In chapter 10, I don't think from chapter 10 to chapter 17 that Jesus all of a sudden said, never mind, I made a mistake. The Lord ain't no Indian giver. If he gives it to you, he gives it to you. But it didn't mean you couldn't lose it. I can give Kurt $100 up today. He walk out of here tonight, he can lose it. It's not my fault. He mismanaged it somehow. Took his keys out of his pocket in a rush. God, he had the 100 in there. He mismanaged it. Not my fault. You understand what I'm saying? Look at your neighbor and say, don't mismanage this.
Don't mismanage this.
Shoot, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem.
We're not managing it right.
We're not dealing with it right. That's the problem. Watch. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless, underline it, and perverse generation. Underline those two. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, underline unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, wow, yeah, you took me all the way back right there. If you have faith as, Oh, somebody say as. Somebody say it's got to be acting just like. It's growing all the time. Help me, Lord God. A mustard seed is constantly growing. Faith as, my God. It's got to continue to grow. Oh, God. When'd you come out of the baptism? Why'd you stop growing in the ring? What took? Faith as a grain of mustard seed. You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing, watch this, shall be impossible to me. What did it say?
To you.
You want to say that again?
To you.
Wait, Jesus didn't say it won't be impossible for me?
He said unto you.
He didn't take accolade for himself, did he?
No.
Who did he say it wouldn't be impossible to?
Me.
All right, going back up now. Faithless and perversity. Faithless and perversity. Faithlessness and perversity. Faithlessness and perversity. There's a mystery here in this faithlessness and perversity. That stopped the power. It stopped what was once given, constituting unbelief. The Lord told me, he said, they didn't stop believing like you think what belief is. The word faithless, it does mean unbelief. But don't write that down. That wasn't the problem here. Not for this scripture. There's another definition for faithless. It means unworthy.
Jesus.
Untrustworthy. It translates untrustworthy. Hence, it ties itself to perverse. These guys were casting out devils, healing the sick, and raising the dead. Before they met this lunatic, they came to the Lord and said, the dead, devils, sickness, and disease, all this is subject unto us through thy name. And he said, don't rejoice there, boys. And this was the key.
Oh, God.
But rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life.
Yes.
Watch out now.
Come on.
Watch out now. The only way your name stays in the Lamb's book of life is if you stay dead.
God help me.
If you rise in your flesh, your name can be blotted. They were learning a lesson here, my God.
Come on now.
They were perverse here. It says they were faithless, untrustworthy of the anointing. Why? Because perversity set in, which means this. It means to turn away from. They began to see themselves. They turned away from their own baptism. They were at one time when he first breathed, they were dead. But they got perverse and began to turn away from. They began to distort. It also means to oppose. Now that's deep. They began, watch this, you say, but they weren't sitting there devising. Listen, all right, I got to say this. This is just a lot of knowledge that you're getting right now, but it makes, it's 100%. The flesh without you is already enmity with God. The Bible says that your flesh is God's enemy.
Amen.
The last definition to perverse is this, to plot against the saving purposes of God. When you get back in your flesh is plotting against God.
Come on now.
It's plotting, making sure you're no longer a vessel that can produce saving purposes. Now, you have to understand me, please. This flesh, without you, is already the enemy of God. It was trained to be God's enemy. I know this is a little on the deep end for some of you, but you got to hear this now. You, without even thoughts of being perverse or opposing God, the moment you step in your flesh to do what you want to do, you have just plotted and you're now opposing God. You are now enmity. That flesh is now God's enemy. So now it's opposite of what saving grace should be doing. So now here's what happened. When they stepped back into themselves, they became opposers of God. And now, because they were opposers of God, he said they were faithless, which means untrustworthy. so they couldn't deal with that demon. It was taken. Why? I'll tell you why. Because if you have the perverseness in your body or in your flesh, and you're still overcoming, you're a dangerous somebody. Your doctrine can change. The word of the Lord can change from out of your mouth. And the living, the life of Christ, or living as he did, or staying dead, speaking of the baptismal, staying under R3, staying out of self, you won't preach that doctrine. You'll begin to teach. You can do what you want and still have power. And you're not trustworthy. So now, miracles or the power of God is not coming through us like it should because we still have too much perverseness. But Pastor, I ain't trying to go against God. Well, anytime you want to do you, you are.
Amen.
Amen.
It ain't about you being a bold, flamboyant enemy of God. It's about you wanting to live the way you want to live in your flesh. That's the enemy of God. And he deems you untrustworthy. So you can't do it. Amen. You're stuck like Chuck. You can't produce. You can say all you want to the mountain. But if the mountain, truth be told, if you're perverse and the mountain moves, you're never going to come out of perversity. So the mountain stays right still.
Yes. Yes.
It's not that you don't believe, because you do. But watch this. Watch this now. Don't think I'm crazy now. Don't think I'm schizo. You do believe, but yet really you are in unbelief. Wait, what you talking about? Because to believe God is to believe God. I believe I have to stay dead. That's a part of my belief. I believe he can. See, watch me now. I believe he can. Even when I'm not dead, I still believe he can. But I'm showing unbelief because the criteria for him to do it is me staying dead. That's a part of being under R3, the baptizo. That's a part of my belief. I step aside from that and I'm still believing he can produce a miracle, which he can. But he says, you can't because you're not trustworthy. So he told them, they came to him later. They said, why couldn't we move him? He said, because of your unbelief. That's like, wait, what? Because if you really believe me, you would have stayed dead. Feel that now and buy that. If you really believe this word, you'll stay dead. You'll stay in it. So it's amazing how we want to believe up here, but then we don't want to believe stay dead or stay in R3 down here. So you really are unbelief. Because we've learned that in order to see God move, in order for him to use us as vessels, we have to be under the baptism. I believe that. When I'm in church, my God, I cling to that. But when I leave here, I walk in unbelief. I begin to walk in unbelief. I begin to walk in unbelief because what I'm doing is proving that I don't believe. Now, I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe he's got all power. I believe. But to be a son, to be a daughter, to be a disciple, he said, if you continue in my ways, you stay there. Now you're my disciple indeed. And he said, a disciple is even as his master. The moment I step out of rain,
come on,
I'm a wayward disciple. And I need to get my behind back on track. You guys feel that?
Yes,
amen.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
What are you going to say, Mom?
I was just going to ask really a question. Do you think it's safe to say that the power is still there, but the fact that you're walking in yourself?
Absolutely, you can't activate it. You can't activate it. He won't come on any flesh. He will not rest on flesh, alive flesh. No flesh will glory. You will not see the glory of God while in your flesh. And that's the wrestle while you're trying to get a breakthrough. That's, everybody goes through it in the room, praise his name. Everybody goes through it. They're like, okay, I know what I got to do. I know what needs to be done. I know what I need to let him do. I know in order for him to break me out, I need to do this. So you stay on it, stay on it. And he's so rich in mercy, he shows up. But it's not 100-fold. It leaves a trail behind. It's not his best. He gets you over, but it's nowhere near his best. It's not. It's some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. 100-fold is make you rich and add no sorrow. 100-fold is to get you completely out of it. 100-fold kills the principality, and you never have the problem again. That's 100-fold. So getting 30-fold is just getting you over, and that's because he saw you fight, and you understand the process. You understand the death. You understand what you need to do, and he's watching you. But then he also knows that you're not fully delivered from it. And by the time he breaks you out, you go right back into the same old cycle. It's ridiculous. We shouldn't have problems. That we've been called to walk in a place that we're even as he is. But because we're faithless and oftentimes walking in perversity, this is our problem. The perverseness here is constituted, it's really constituted when he said, you're faithless and perverse. He really called them untrustworthy because of you being perverse. The perversity is what he was really looking at and letting them know this is why. And then they said to him, they said, so what was our problem here? He said that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. He didn't say the size. As does not mean size. Ooh, help me, Lord Jesus. I know, yes, we can look at the size. We can't. You got to take size into account. I'll tell you why. Because it starts off small. But if the process of that mustard seed is in effect, I don't care how big it is. The process of growth is what counts. But the moment you step back into yourself, you stagnate growth. So as a mustard seed ceases, it ceases. Okay, put a seed in the ground, put a mustard seed in the ground. Germination will kick in within about, I don't know, hours. All this stuff starts to kick in. You can take that seed out. You not see anything, but you put a microscope to it, you can start to see some effects of that seed already starting to do something. So if you have a seed that's just starting out and it's in motion, say unto the mountain, be thou. He's looking at process. He's looking at baptism. So the reason why you can't do it, and oftentimes I can't do it, is because there's perversity there. It's too much perversity. It's too much. Oh, Jesus. It's too much. It's too much. There's too much. There's too much breaking away from him. There's too much. There's too much. They began to see themselves. And he tried to tell him. He's like, don't rejoice in what you see Rhema doing. Rejoice that Rhema has you on lock for the Lamb's Book of Life. You start to see what Rhema does, and the head is going to swell. Paul said, there was given to me a messenger of Satan in my flesh, so I could not get puffed up because of the multiplicity of revelations that I got. I got a problem. I now learn that in my problem, this is where we go. I rejoice in the fact that I got issues. Why? Because it keeps me grounded. It keeps me level-headed. Shoot, you call me crazy, but I'm telling y'all right now, you can ask my wife, she'll tell you. I rejoice when I see the hand of God working out my problems. I rejoice when I see, okay, this is why this happened. This is why. I don't care how crazy it seems. It doesn't make a difference. This is why. And I see this, so it calls me to be humble. It calls me to chase. I can't get puffed up no how. I'm on lock to this thing, man. I know what issues are in me. I see it. I judge myself. And it keeps me there.
Yes,
it keeps me in the even as.
Yes.
He said, the reason why you can't do it, and I can't do it, is faithlessness and perversity. He wants you to do it. He's proving that you have power. But are you trustworthy with that power? Can you be trusted? Only way I'm trusted is when I stop turning away. I stop distorting. I stop using grace as an excuse. I stop plotting against. Forget about the saving purpose of God in someone else. What about the saving purpose of God in our own lives? When you plot fleshly things, you're plotting against the saving purpose of God in your own life. That's perversity. No flesh. No more. Come on, Pastor. You always make it hard. No flesh, no more. One day at a time. My wife said, you take it slow. You take it real slow. You take it in slowly. You understand the objective of why you're under the baptizo or under R3. It's because it's keeping you dead. Keeping you dead. It's keeping you dead. Jesus had 100% because he always stayed dead. How many hours of the day are you dead? How many hours of the day are you alive? You know what that is? That's a nice way of saying you're double-minded. Isn't that right, prophets? It's a really nice way of saying you're double-minded. You don't get nothing being double-minded. Oh, I'm smoking. I'm dead in the morning. Come midday, I'm alive and well.
Jesus.
You're untrustworthy. That's why most miracles come to us in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night. Because you ain't dead. But joy cometh in the morning.
Cometh in the morning.
Now you good and dead. No, the real talk, guys, is because there's too much perversity. Now he's equipping us with power. He's giving us this power. But wherever you're coming back to life, you have to begin to enforce the rhema word of God at the time where you're trying to come up out of the grave. You have got to enforce the rhema word of God. There is absolutely, positively no reason that we shouldn't be propitiated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's no reason we shouldn't be under the complete baptism. And it's not just reading, hearing, not seeing and experiencing. It's prophesying, hear, speak, see, speak. You got a whole new lifestyle. I think she said in her prayer, embrace the change. Is it quiet because we're taking inventory? Who wants to be able to do it?
Amen.
Amen.
They believed, but they didn't believe to the point of staying out of perversity. When I cross the line of perversity, I nullify my faith. When I cross the line of perversity, I nullify my faith. When I cross the line of perversity, I nullify my faith. I'm going to say that again. When I cross the line of perversity, I nullify my faith. Why? Because faith has taught me to stay out of perversity by staying, not by trying, but by just staying under the reign of word. So when I cross the line of perversity, I nullify my faith. I become untrustworthy of the anointing because of perversity, because of my turning away from what I know. I know what the Lord told me to do 3 times a day. Once I turn away and I do 2 times a day, now perversity has set in. Oh, God, help me, please. When I walk away from instruction, when I leave the instruction, and I leave the instruction of the Lord, to leave the instruction of what wisdom said to do and what God has taught us via rhema, when I leave that, I'm now over into the place of perversity. I'm untrustworthy to carry the anointing. You say, but Pastor, you taught us about Samson being crazy but still being anointed. Sure did. Sure did. And it's right on point. Sure is. Sure enough is. Why, Pastor? Because, listen, let me tell you something. God doesn't strip you all at one time. But I'll tell you the measure. It starts to fade. And then he said this, lest your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisee. No room for self. All right. Amen. No more perversity. No more.
Amen.
No more. No more. If I'm going to do it, then I got to be a disciple to how I've learned, to how I live. You ever be speaking to a mountain you got no business speaking to? Somebody say amen. You're speaking to a mountain, but you know you ain't in position to talk to no mountain.
That's it.
Answer yourself. Does the mountain leave? But my God, when you get back in your box, get back in your coffin, tell me Jesus. Isn't it amazing, Nikki, that when you climb back in your coffin, then you attack the mountain? Can anybody just see 2 + 2 = 4? It just makes all the sense in the world. All right, look at your neighbors. They stay in your box.
Stay in your box.
Stay in your box, man. I'm done. That's good. He gave them power, then they lost it. He gave it to them, but then it wasn't found. And somebody smart, and that's what's the intellectual or whatever, reads the last verse, says, but how be it, this one goes out by not prayer and fasting. Wait a minute, hold on. He gave them power over all the power of the enemy. Prayer and fasting, what would it do for them? Prayer and fasting.
Oh, I know. It would kill them.
Die to yourself.
What does prayer and fasting do?
Die to yourself.
It kills you.
That's right. Sure enough,
though. No. They didn't have what we had. Oh, y'all don't know that. Oh, no. Oh, no. All of his parables didn't come alive until Acts. All that he said came back to their remembrance when the Holy Spirit was dwelling on the inside of them and they could house rainbow. Y'all don't have to pray and fast. Stay under the rainbow. They didn't have access to rhema then. But boy, when they got access to rhema, there was some bad mamma jammas. They said, it's not right that we leave the word of God the way it came. That's crazy. We ain't trying to leave this word. We're staying right here.
I'm trying to stay in that box.
You see this anointing that's pouring out over us? Don't even try it. Pick you seven men of good report to deal with this mess. We're staying in this box. All right. I'm done. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Anybody get anything out of that tonight?
Yes.
Raise your hands high before the Lord. It's 8:25. Let me get you out of here. Lord, oh yes, Jesus. The Lord just turned the fire a little bit higher. He just turned the heat up on us all, and I give him praise for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's turned the heat up on us all for perversity to come out, that we be perverse no more. It doesn't mean that you have some crazy perverseness about you, but any place that you are still coming to life, that is not agreeable with him. It's not agreeable with him. And you trying to stay dead is not agreeable with him. But you staying under the rhema word of God, especially when you feel yourself creeping back to life, you go to the rhema word and allow it to bring you back under the baptizo. But Lord, we heard the word tonight, and we hear you.
Yes,
I mean, we hear you. I mean, it is crystal clear, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
It is crystal clear.
Yes,
and now, we're asking that you work in us the will to, Lord God, the will to do it and how to perform.
Yes,
we need you to do this. Increase us. I hear you. Increase hunger tonight. Father, increase hunger tonight. Increase hunger tonight for the righteousness of God that will come by way of the rhema word of God. Increase the hunger, Lord God. That's the key. If you increase hunger for righteousness, then you'll increase our time in the word.
Yes.
But please increase tonight, release an increase of hunger for righteousness.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let it be released over us, Lord, because if it does, I know for a fact, oh, hallelujah. If it increases, I know for a fact our position and the time we stay under baptizo will increase, oh God. Ah! And then we will not nullify our faith. We will no longer nullify the power of God. But we will see it move like never before. Increase the hunger for righteousness.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Bless us with a hunger, God, that goes beyond even what we've already got. Take us to that dimension.
Thank you, Lord.
No more, Lord Jesus. No more speaking to mountains that don't obey. No more speaking to situations that are stubbornly standing still. No more, Lord God, because you have equipped us with the same power that you have had from the beginning of time when you created the heavens and the earth. The same anointing is on the inside of us. You gave us power over all the power of the enemy. No more, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We are fully equipped to remove all perversity. The funny thing is the only way perversity leaves is by staying in rhema anyway. It's the only way we're washed is by the water of your word. That's why we cry for the increase of righteousness. Let it be released over all of us now.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Everybody that wants that increase, just stretch your hands as far as you can.
Jesus.
With a yielding in your heart, with a yielding in your mind. Stretch it as far as you can for this increase. As far as you can. Yes, Lord. Increase. Increase the hunger. Thank you.
Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You do it. Put your neighbor and say, you do it.
You do it.
You
do it.
You do it. You got power. You do it. Recognize appropriation. You do it. You do it. You do it. You do it.